Our second reading today comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, How shall we return? Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation, of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And thus, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the doors of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. I will rebuke the locust for you, so that it will not destroy the produce of your soil. And your vines in the field shall not be barren, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will count you happy, for you will be in the land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. How many of you know Charles Swindoll? You probably read many of his books, but he was at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he shared this story that I'd like to share with you this morning. He talked about a woman from southern Mississippi. She was an elderly woman. She had lived there all of her life, and she knew everyone. And there was a murder case in this small town, and she was called to the witness stand. And so the prosecuting attorney, he walks over, he looks her directly in the eye, and he says, Mrs. Jones, do you know who I am? She said, yes, Mr. Williams, I know who you are. I've known you since a little boy, and frankly, I'm a little disappointed how you turned out. She says, you know, you lie, you cheat, you talk about people behind their backs and you think they don't know it. She says, you think you're a big shot, but you're not a big shot. And she says, but if you don't change your life, I don't know what's going to happen to you. Could you imagine? The courtroom fell silent, didn't know what to say. So he looks over at the defense. He said, well, Miss Jones, do you know the defense attorney? She said, yes, I know Mr. Bradley. I've known him since he was a little boy. I know him well. He's always been a little arrogant, a little egotistical. And she says, and I know that he's grown up with a drinking problem, and he's had many problems. He's got the poorest legal practice in the state. And she says, and he messes around, and he has affairs with different people, and the last person he had an affair with was your wife. The defense attorney almost passed out. And the judge says, order in the court, look, you, both of you come up here. And in a whispering tone, he says, if any one of you idiots ask her anything about me, I'll take you to the gas chamber myself. I want to laugh a basic point and to all of us this morning, so we don't get to know each other without sharing our stories, amen? Our stories are important. How I got to be where I am, how you got to be where you are, all of those things are very important. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about my understanding of tithing and offering, but first I'm going to ask Jim Chappell to share his.
After that. I have a couple of corollary comments I'd like to make before I give my short speech. My wife told me it was going to be short. Lots of people in this church that we love. Our Christian family supports each other, and that's what we're all about. We all need that special bonding and that caring. Amen? And I'm thankful that I have support of my wife. Thanks, Jean. We have tried to live by. One simple principle, pretty difficult. It's spend less than you earn. And we were blessed to be able to do that. And a pastor asked me to share this with you, so I don't know whether he dug way down, but anyway, probably 35 years ago, we were able to make a commitment. And I was not giving a tithe, and quite frankly, I don't remember what percent I was giving, but I made a commitment, we made a commitment that I would give 10% of any increase in my salary to the Lord's work. And we were blessed to be able to continue to do that since then. And so every time I got an increase in my salary, I gave 10% of that increase. And it's worked out for us that we're able to maintain that because we're blessed to be able to continue to give that. And I would like to add that now I'm old enough, believe it or not, I'm taking my minimum required distribution from my IRA, and I've tithed that 10% of that IRA as well. And I ask you to commit and give God back as God has blessed you. And thanks, and may the Lord continue to bless each and every one of us.
Thank you, Jeff. All the places in my life that I struggled with, this was one of them. I'm what you call a hard-head Christian. Anybody know what that means? It's where I want to serve God, but I want to do it my way. Anybody else with me? And the one place that I've been unyielding and recalcitrant has been in the area of giving and tithing. You see, it's good to know the scriptures, but it's wretched when the scriptures don't have an effect on us. Amen? Daniel, when I was in seminary, I studied Deuteronomy and I studied Leviticus 26, and I understood the whole principles about giving, but it didn't have any effect upon my life. I read Proverbs 3:9 that says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops, but didn't have any effect upon my life. I read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. I read it, I knew it, but it didn't have any effect upon my life. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given unto you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. But it had no effect upon my life. I even read the story where Jesus is talking about watching the rich people give. And they were putting their money in the box. Then he talked about the little widow with the two copper coins. And Jesus says, here's the lesson. She's given more than the rich because they've their bounty, but she has given out of her poverty all she had to live on. And I read that story. I heard that story. But it had no effect upon my life. What am I saying to you this morning? I was trying to serve God my way, but I was not serving God by bringing my full tithe to the church. And I would do things like, I would say, well, I'll tithe my time and my energy to the church. I don't have to give my salary. You see how the mind works? Somebody say, too smart for your own good. Too smart for your own good. I would do things like, if I worked with somebody on the street, then I'd say, well, I'm going to tithe that part and take away from what I was going to give to the church. Somebody say, too smart for your own good. Have you ever been too smart for your own good? God's way is the best way, amen? and not our ways. Our ways are not his ways, and his ways are not our ways. And we need to get that into our spirit sometimes. Serving in the church and not wanting to do it God's way. As I was the director at the Wesley Foundation at JMU, a young lady by the name of Erin Herring came in and she gave us a check for $250. We were like, wow, this is great. We got money for the ministry. About a month later, she came back and gave us another check for $250. I was thinking, maybe her parents is giving to this ministry. This is wonderful. And the third time she came and she had a check for $500, I said, hey, where's this money coming from? They used to call me Revy Rev. She said, Revy Rev, can I share a story with you? I said, sure. She says, as a little girl, my father would give us an allowance, but we had to immediately tithe 10% of our allowance to God. And what he was showing us, that we couldn't beat God in giving. And I followed that principle my whole life. And it feels good to give. She said, so 2 months ago, I got a check for $2,500. And I needed to tithe 10% of it. So I thought I should tithe it to this ministry. She says, listen, my schooling is fully paid for. I'm on academic scholarship. Full ride. But when I get these other grants, they're mine to do what I want to do with them. And so I need to tithe it back to God. I sit there and I listen to this young lady. It was the first chink in my armor. Amen? And then I worked with Larry Thompson, who is now the district superintendent in the Winchester district. He was the pastor of Asbury United Methodist Church, and though I was the director, I worked quarter time with that church. And one day he had a conversation with me, and it was clergy to clergy, man to man, brother to brother, and he asked me a very simple question. How is it that you are a leader and you're only tithing sparingly? I sound like Scooby-Doo. I didn't know what to say. And my next reaction was to become defensive. Well, do you tithe all the time? He says, Derek, I tithe from the beginning of the year. I pay the whole year. And every week I bring in my offering to the Lord. He says, I'm trying to help you with something. And he read this Malachi passage to me that Daniel read in your hearing. And he says, what I want you to understand is that from the Old Testament even to now, there are so many who say that they love God, but they will deny this part of it. They will even bury the principle of giving. He said, but listen to what the scripture says. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. You say, well, how have I robbed you? In your tithes and in your offering. He placed his hand on me and he says, Derek, God is inviting you to be reconciled to him in this area of your life. And I began to sob out loud. And I begin to sob because God has been good to me. Is that anybody else's testimony? That he's blessed me, and I know that I'm blessed. He took me to a war and brought me back unscathed, untouched. I fell down a 60-foot cliff. Nothing happened to me because of the goodness of God. Everything I have is an offering from him. Everything. How could I want to do it my way and not want to give him all that I have? And as I began to sob, Larry said, Derek, somebody had to help me with this understanding, and I want to help you. And I want you to be the best leader that you can be. Listen, my friends, this is not about perfection. I'm not talking about perfection because none of us are perfect. Amen? But what I am talking about is offering God our very best. And doing that with integrity. And only we will know what that looks like. Amen? Secretary of State comes in to see the president, and he says, President, this is my report. He says, is it your best job? He said, well, let me go back and work on it some more. So he went back and he worked back and he worked on it. He came by him, he says, President, here's my report. He says, is it your best? Let me go back and work on it some more. The third time, choir, he came back and he says, President, this is my report and it's my best work. And the president said, now I'll read it. Are we offering God our very best this day? Or are you like me, a hard-head Christian? That it took Aaron Herring, a student at JMU, to teach me a lesson. And I thank God for Larry Thompson, who was truly a man of God and a friend to me, to teach me the right things. Only a friend would do that. Only a friend wouldn't let me wallow in my own self-righteousness. But today, my friends, I want to offer God my best. I'm not talking about perfection. I want to offer God my very best. What about you? Do you want to give him your very best? Or do you want to just give enough to say that, you know, I did something? Doing enough to get by, punching the card. I don't want to do that. I want to offer God my best. So today, if you are faithful in giving to the Lord, I want to say thank you to you. And I want to say thank you for your witness. But if you're struggling in this area like I did at one time, remember what the scripture says. God says you can return and be restored in this area of your life too. So I'm going to ask if Margaret would play something. And I want you to think about your pledge. In this beautiful basket, I'm going to ask the ushers to lead us. And you come down and make your pledge to God. That's between you and God. But I pray that it's your best. I pray that you won't do just enough to get by, but it'll be your very best.